A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Kate Spencer.
I'm Dori Shafrir.
And we're not experts.
We are two beautiful friends, as you editorialized last time.
Yes.
Who like to talk a lot about serums.
I do like inserting some positive self-talk into our introduction.
I'm here for that.
Because so often I do the opposite, where I talk down about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to stop.
It stops right now.
Well,
right here, right now.
Welcome, listeners, to the show. Before we get started, just a friendly reminder that we are actually hiring.
We are hiring.
A part-time Los Angeles-based assistant. And you can learn more and find out how to apply at forever35podcast.com/jobs.
Yep. So do that.
So do that, please. Dori, can I tell you what happened to me this morning?
Yes.
As I mentioned in a previous episode, I've been shopping in my own like bucket of skincare products that
yes.
I already own. And one item that I have circled back to is the Ordinary Retinol.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it on last night. And when I woke up this morning, I actually looked in the mirror and said, whoa.
Wow.
My skin looked so smooth. And that's never happened to me before.
Wow.
Uh-huh. I am kind of reborn on this product.
Your skin does look nice today.
Oh, I've got a lot of stuff going on. I've got a Kula primer sample, Kula sunscreen primer that I got. It's a tiny sample and I was like, I'll just try this out as my sunscreen. It smells like a fucking like cookie dough. It smells so good. It's a lovely, soft primer. Yeah, I've been using it the last 2 days. I'm also very into that.
That's awesome.
So anyway, that's just what's going on with my face.
That's great.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
How have you been?
I have been okay.
Which is great because previously you've been not okay, like barfing not okay.
Yes. I also feel like I'm starting to feel more like myself.
You are, as Gloria Estefan might say, coming out of the dark.
I am coming out of the dark and into the light.
You're getting on your feet.
Yes.
You're standing up and making things happen, but you're feeling better.
I am feeling better. I'm feeling more like myself. We also went out to dinner.
And you were able to just eat what
and
was at the restaurant.
I was able to eat mostly. When we got to the protein portion of the evening, I had some meat and I was like, nope.
Ugh.
And then they brought out some fish and I was like, nope.
Ooh, that's rough.
So I just sort of sat there. But overall, it was great. I really only started to fade in the last like half hour.
That's got to feel so good.
And yeah, it just felt good to like get dressed and put on makeup and go out to dinner with my husband and another couple and like actually have human interaction and be around other people and eat some normal food. It felt good. So, yeah. And
there's another exciting thing that happened to you this week.
That I cleaned out my bathroom?
Well, I was going to say that you bought maternity jeans.
Oh, I sure did. I bought maternity jeans. As we are speaking right now, I'm 12 weeks.
Woo!
Woohoo. I'm not like really showing yet, but I feel like I've always, like I carry my weight in my stomach anyway. And now it feels like I've just like eaten too much. Like, I feel kind of bloated and it's like not comfortable. Like, some of my jeans still fit, but it's not like comfortable to wear them. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go for it and get a pair of maternity jeans. So I went to our old friends, Madewell, who make maternity jeans now.
That is so nice, because they did not when I was, I don't even know if Madewell existed when I had kids. My kids are 25.
It does feel like in the year 2018, there are some great options for maternity wear.
Totally. There's so many wonderful choices.
I am
choices.
Very pleased.
Yeah, and that run the gamut of price range too.
Yeah. So Madewell was having a 30% off sale.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I just ordered a pair of jeans. They came yesterday. And I love them.
Now, did you order the kind with the giant waistband?
I sure did,
because
then
there's also the kind...
Yeah, the side panel ones.
That expand.
Yeah.
Yes, which also fit comfortably like under the giant pregnant belly.
I like feeling like the belly's kind of coddled.
Yeah, especially now.
Especially yeah. now. I just like feeling... It's sort of like mild shapewear.
You're like, you like the hug of a high-waisted maternity.
Exactly. Pant. It just feels good. Also, on the Madewell site... they also carry side panel jeans, and a lot of the reviews of the side panel jeans were not that great, people saying that they ran too small.
Oh, no,
they
thanks.
Didn't like how they fit, but the over the belly ones people were raving
they
about.
Look super cool.
Thank you.
I complimented
yeah, they're like
you on
distressed skinny jeans.
Yeah, they've got a like a cut knee.
Yeah. So they're super comfortable. They're also super stretchy. I'm really into them.
I will say also, Madewell has a thing where if you bring a pair of jeans to donate, you get 20% off.
Yes.
I mean, not 20%, excuse me, $20 off.
Yeah.
So if you're in the market for maternity jeans, and I think if they don't carry them in store,
they'll order them for you and,
yes,
and honor
the... I don't quote me on that. I'm not a Madewell employee, just a fan.
Yet.
Listen, Madewell, call me. But I think they might do that. So if you're in the market yeah. for maternity jeans, that might be a good spot.
Yeah, the only annoying thing is that most like mainstream retailers that have maternity lines don't carry them in store. Like Madewell doesn't, Gap doesn't. I don't even think Old Navy has maternity stuff in store anymore.
Target does.
Yeah, but at least at my Target, the maternity, I'm putting that in quotes, section was one sad rack.
Really?
Of like really ugly clothes. Yeah.
Got to come out to the burbs where I live.
So I should go out to the burbs, because I've heard people have said good things about the Target maternity line, but at my Target, it was not amazing. The other thing I did this week is I cleaned up my bathroom.
And it freed you?
It felt really good. I mean, I have this, like my under sink cabinet in my bathroom is pretty big. And it's just sort of become like a repository for a lot of crap. And so I was like, the time has come. I need to just clear this out. And like, there was a lot of like expired stuff. Like it was just a mess in there. So I cleaned it out. It looks great now. I feel really good about it. And then I was like, well, while I'm here, I might as well also clean out. I have this like shelf with three baskets. And one of the baskets had been devoted to like IVF meds. And it was just full of syringes.
That you used to have to...
Unused syringes. Because whenever you order IVF meds or you buy them at a pharmacy, they give you like 10 times as many syringes and needles as you would possibly ever need. So you end up with this like really big surplus of syringes. And I also had a bunch of Sharps containers filled with like needles and stuff that I'd used.
Oh my gosh.
And so, and you know, you have to dispose of Sharps containers at specific places. It's kind of a pain in the ass. So as I was like looking into disposing of these Sharps containers, I was like, I feel bad just throwing out brand new syringes. So I started Googling around, and there are a few places that look like they would accept them and they send them to like other countries. So that was one option. Then I was like, maybe there's like a needle exchange in LA that I could just like drop them off. Turned out that there was.
That's great.
So I emailed the guy on their website and was like, hey, I have a lot of leftover syringes from infertility treatments. Like, would you want them? And he was like, yeah, that would be great. And then I was like, I also have a lot of unopened travel-sized toiletries. Would you like those too?
Did he say yes?
Yes. He was like, well, we'll take them.
Oh, that's amazing.
So I dropped them off. Yeah. So all of you who have done IVF, you know, if you're down with needle exchanges, which I am down with, you might look into that as an option for giving away your old needles. Your unused needles.
That's great. That's great that you actually did that instead of just tossing them. Way to go.
Yeah. Thank you. So, you know, the one thing I could do. And I feel like I'm kind of like, I'm trying to get rid of stuff. My unending quest to get rid of stuff.
I'm also deep in that quest.
I sold a pair of shoes on Noisaf Bazaar, which felt good. They were a pair I'd bought. And as soon as I got them, I was like, I don't like how these look.
Uh-oh. Did you ever wear them?
No. I never wore them out of the house, so they were in great condition.
Wow.
And I sold them for almost as much as I bought them for.
Congratulations.
So I feel good about that. And then I also sent off a large... I've done this a couple times, where I just put together a large priority flat rate box and fill it with books. And then I posted the Forever 35 book Facebook group. And I'm like, does anyone want to pay for shipping? There was like 12 hardcover books in here.
That's amazing. That's such a great idea.
And I felt like, okay, at least these are like going to someone who actually wants them.
Good
so
work,
that
Dory.
Was my week. How was your week?
Oh, well, Dory, I purchased a new autumnal candle at Target.
Oh, we're in autumnal candle land.
We are in autumnal candle season. I believe it's called Autumn Harvest. It's a pumpkin-y spice. I love a pumpkin candle. I have no shame about this. And Target makes the best ones. So if anyone wants to just, you know, get together and talk about pumpkin candles, I'm your person.
I'm here for that.
I love a pumpkin candle. Anyway, I went camping in the woods with 210 women.
210 of your closest friends.
I mean, truly, I love every single one of them. And it was really, really fun, but also exhausting.
Yeah.
But we were literally camping in bunks. I went zip lining.
Ooh. Was there a ropes course?
There was. I did not do it.
Oh. Were there trust falls?
I don't know. Okay. But there was a climbing wall. There was just all sorts of activities. I played games. I made friendship bracelets. I had a wonderful
time. Did you stay off your phone?
Yeah, actually, for the most part, I did.
That's awesome.
And I would have these moments of like clarity that was just like, wow, I'm enjoying myself so much and I'm connecting with other people. And I'm not even feeling the urge to look at this monster in my pocket. So that felt really wonderful. And then my friend who was on the trip with me, my friend Joy, came and spent a couple nights here at my home. And she and my kids planned an unbirthday celebration for me. It was so sweet. She was very good at getting my kids to do stuff I couldn't get them to do. They drew me a bath like 4 p.m. I got in the bath and my daughters were so excited and I took like a 30-minute bath. And I tell you what, my back pain has felt so much better
since
this bath. And then they set up a whole little nail salon outside and my daughters did my nails, my feet my hands. They look crazy.
They're sparkly.
Yes. My feet look like truly like I just dunked them in a bunch of buckets of paint. But they were so proud of themselves.
Aww.
And they were having so much fun. And they were very much like my daughters were very much in service. It was really neat. They were like massaging me. I mean, look, they were in service to me. I realize this makes me sound very self-absorbed, but it was really sweet.
That
and then
is
they
so
we
nice.
Made dinner and we had chocolate chip cookies and
which were really good.
They were excellent. It was the Smitten Kitchen recipe, apparently. So it was really wonderful to have that with my daughters and also just have a friend who came and visited me and then did something nice for me. It was so nice. Joy is a great friend. Hello, Joy, if you're listening. So that was just a really special.
That's so great.
Yeah, it was a really fun thing that we did with my daughters. So, you know, find yourself a friend who comes and stays with you and cooks you steak on your grill and makes your kids paint your nails.
Done.
Done. Easy as that.
Done.
And you know, I will tell you, because we've been talking about friendship so much on our regular episode and a mini episode, that I met Joy the same way I met you, which is on the microblogging platform Tumblr. You know, you can make friends in the most magical of places. You know what I would love?
What?
If we accomplish anything with this podcast, what if we help people make friends with each other?
That would be awesome.
Like that, I feel like in terms of like an intention of doing this podcast would be amazing.
Totally.
So anyways, listeners, please go out and become friends.
Yeah. That's your job.
That's your job. No, but that would be really cool if we connected people.
I agree.
Oh, well.
All right. Well, okay. I think it's time for a quick break.
I'm going to go light my pumpkin candle and cozy in for some ads.
Okay.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I mean, Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh, that sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With Honey Love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they manage to not sacrifice lift, all while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there, the overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
So Kate, I was thinking.
Yes?
Just because we live in Los Angeles does not mean that we do not have empathy for our listeners who live in colder climes.
Colder climes?
Yes.
I've never heard the word climes. Is that a real word?
Mm-hmm. Oh, C-L-I-M-E.
No, well, I was going to say climate. No, and Dory, you know, you and I are both East Coast natives.
I
went to college in Maine for 4 years.
Yeah.
And then we both lived in New York for about 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, I went to college in Philly, which is not as cold as Maine, but gets its fair share.
Did you have an ice storm?
I do remember freshman year coming back in a blizzard. But it didn't get as cold as Boston.
But it got cold enough.
It got cold enough.
And now we live a spoiled life in Southern California.
We are spoiled.
But we still wanted to talk about kind of the change in weather and how to maintain self-care when stuff gets freezing cold.
Freezing cold, dark. Let's not forget. I mean, it gets dark early here, but it's a different kind of dark when it's 15 degrees out.
Yeah,
and
or 15 degrees below.
And it's dark at 4 o'clock.
So I actually reached out to some friends and my sister-in-law who live in Portland, Oregon, Seattle, and Portland, Maine.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like anybody who lives in those locales, or should I say those climes, are going to be experts on how to survive gross weather.
Totally.
Because it's not just like a day of darkness or a day of rain.
Right.
It is months.
It's months.
And
you
start to go stir crazy.
Yeah. I feel like also, like, I don't always think about the Pacific Northwest winters, but it does. It's rainy.
It's raw.
It's raw there and cold.
Yeah. And it's that kind of wet cold.
Yeah.
That is incredibly uncomfortable and that gets to your bone.
Yeah.
And don't forget, we have international listeners.
Oh, we sure do.
Who are in cold, like London?
Oh, yeah. London gets cold.
That's a cold spot.
Yeah. Canada?
Freezing.
Freezing up there.
We sound like we're doing a stand-up comedy routine. We've never been to the cold. I'm going to even say, and I'm going to sound like an asshole, it gets cold in California.
Yeah.
It doesn't ever get cloudy or rainy. We have about a day of rain.
We had 1 year where it rained a lot. Remember that?
I do.
Two years ago?
I will tell you, recently it was supposed to rain, and my children were excited in the way I got excited for snow. They had like all their rain gear on. Aww. They stomped to school in their rain boots, and then it didn't rain, and they were devastated.
Oh.
We don't get rain. It's bonkers.
Have they seen snow?
They have. Not a lot.
Yeah.
And every time they do, they're like, what is that? Like, you think they're going to like tromp and frolic, and instead they're like, this is fucking cold. We never have the right clothes for it because it's not a consistent weather pattern here. So we're like the people in jeans in the snow.
Totally.
That we would make fun of when I was a kid. Anyway.
So Kay consults her friends. We also chatted and we came up with some hot tips
for cold weather. we didn't write that.
No,
but
we just made it up.
We just improvised. So here's the first one that almost everybody said.
Okay.
That I've never used personally, but I think were I in these climates, I would desperately need a sun lamp.
You know, I should have gotten a sun lamp.
Yeah, because you said you were diagnosed with seasonal affectiveness disorder.
And why did I never get a sun lamp? What is wrong with me?
I don't know, because I hear they work. So especially when it's dark and cold, starting your day sitting in front of a sun lamp. I know I have a friend who just drinks their coffee and checks their phone.
I like that.
First thing in the morning.
Do you have a rec for one?
Yes. My BFF in Oregon, hello Teresa, suggested this one. It's on Amazon. Nature Bright Sun Touch Plus Light, an ion therapy lamp. We will obviously link to it. It's $40. I believe she's had hers since 2010.
Oh.
And it's still going strong.
Okay.
So it sounds like a great investment.
Great.
And that one that would really help just kind of your daily feels.
Totally. So if it's something you've been putting off getting, now is the time.
Do it. Yeah. Especially now where it's October.
Yep.
Yep. Before you get into those solstice-y months.
I think preventative winter therapy is probably a good idea.
Yeah. You heard
and
it
along
first.
Those same lines, if it is in your budget, plan a trip to a warm climate in February or March.
Yes. I was shocked at how many of my friends said they were doing this. And like, obviously it has to be something that financially makes sense.
Yeah.
Not everybody can like jet off to a warm climate. My sister-in-law says like they'll take a couple long weekends away. Like they're going to come down to California for the holidays. I think they might be doing another warm locale trip, and it's only for maybe 3 days.
Yeah.
But it just breaks it up.
Yeah.
Or it gives you something to look forward to.
Totally. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, we often went, well, you know, we would have school vacation in February and in April.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go visit my grandparents usually in February.
Were they in Florida?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you just like need to get out of the Northeast. I also had a boss when I worked at the New York Observer, and his big piece of life advice was to, again, if you have the means, take a week off in February and a week off in August.
Could even do a staycation for some of those. I mean, we could here in California.
We could, yeah. But I think the point being, when you live in the Northeast,
You got to get out.
And in August, like August in New York especially, is very like muggy and oppressive. And so if you can leave, it's great to leave. But again, like just having that thing to look forward to,
yes,
can like get you through. It's so important.
Can I turn you on to a tip I received recently? Have you heard of Scott's Cheap Flights?
Yes, I subscribe. I'm a premium subscriber.
Oh, you're a premium subscriber?
Yes, I pay to subscribe to Scott's Cheap Flights.
So my best friend just turned me onto this site, and it's essentially a guy, maybe now a company, where they search for cheap flights, they send out emails, and the deals kind of disappear in about 24 hours. But you can get some really, really great cheap flights on this site.
Yeah. My one piece of advice if you're using Scott's Cheap Flights is make sure you put in what region or what airports you like to leave from, or you will literally get like hundreds of emails.
That's a good.
I was like, why am I getting so many emails from Scott's Cheap Flights? And then I realized I had it set to like everything. Scott's Cheap Flights is great.
So scottscheapflights.com, if you're looking for a vacation and you want to try to find a deal, check that out. Everyone suggested saunas and spas.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew all my friends were saunaing and spaing all winter?
Well, you know, if you think about it, like, think about like Iceland.
Yes, people have saunas in their homes up in there.
They're like big sauna and spa, the Blue Lagoon. I mean, you know.
A hot spring.
Hot spring.
I have visited in Portland, Oregon, a place called Loyally, which is like a sauna, like just a little sauna place. And they have they have memberships.
Ooh.
They also do like warm foot baths.
Ooh.
And it was very affordable. And it seems like a place like Portland, where it's gross for, you know, all winter, it seems like a great little spot.
Yeah.
But even just a day trip like to our local Korean spa, it's about $20 to go use all their saunas, all their warm baths.
Yeah.
And that can really make you feel so much better.
Totally. And I would just say, you know, if you're pregnant, you shouldn't be going into saunas or steam rooms or really hot tubs.
Could you take a warm bath at home?
But you could take a warm bubble bath at home.
That sounds nice.
Which could be very relaxing.
That's a good tip, Dory.
Thanks.
I had forgotten about our pregnant friends.
Yeah. Well, I'm here to represent.
Good. My sister-in-law also does hot yoga.
Oh, another thing you can't do while pregnant.
No.
But a good thing to do to heat yourself up in the winter.
Yeah. Another tip we got, making concrete plans to leave the house that you can't cancel.
Mm.
So doing something where you have to hold yourself accountable to do stuff so you get off the couch. That can be hard.
That can be hard. I liked her follow-up tip, though, which is enjoy the cozy.
Yeah, I thought this was a good tip. She said she started to look forward to the change of season that ushers in rainy fall Saturdays on the couch with tea and a stack full of books from the library, comfy leggings, warm socks, XL t-shirt, and a dog on your lap. Another hot tip, which you and I had talked about, too, is having the right gear.
Yes.
And investing, if it's you can, so important, within your budget, in good stuff, mm-hmm, stuff that you want to wear.
And I would also say, start buying that stuff now.
Right. So you're not buying it like on the first snow day.
Yeah, because I feel like I would always do it too late and stuff does sell out.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So.
And you had a favorite item that you wore.
I did. I had the L.L. Bean duck boots with the shearling lining.
Mm.
So, you know, it really kept your feet nice and toasty. But those duck boots are indestructible,
yeah,
and really waterproof. They keep you really dry. I got the ones that came like, they weren't the super tall ones, but they weren't the like ankle length ones.
Right, because you could walk through a snowbank.
I could walk through a snowbank. And yeah, I would just recommend those. And the soles have nice grip, so you're not like slipping around on the ice. Also Sorel boots I think are great.
Yeah, my family always wore Sorel boots and we had to go out and snow plow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Uggs, while warm, are not waterproof.
I've never actually worn Uggs, so I don't know.
Oh, I have. I wore them through many New York City winters, but they get wet. Your feet get wet.
Ew.
And I never really had like proper boots when I lived in New York for years. I would wear like rain boots in the snow.
Yeah. No, there were a couple winters where I didn't have proper boots and you just get so miserable.
Yeah, get yourself a good pair of boots, good gloves.
Good gloves.
A hat.
Yes.
And a big ass coat.
Get a puffy coat.
Water resistant.
You know, if you like down, get it with down. If you like down alternative, get it with down alternative. But get something that will really keep you warm.
Can I offer a coat tip? Get a coat that covers your ass and your thighs.
Oh, totally.
Get the long ones.
Get the knee length ones.
Yeah, you have to fucking bundle the fuck up.
Yeah, I would also say bring or keep an extra pair of socks at work.
Oh, that's a great idea because your feet get wet.
Yeah, just in case your feet, even if you're wearing your duck boots, in case your feet get wet. And I always like to just have a pair of shoes at work too.
Here was one that a friend suggested. Make a proactive and specific list of things you can do when it is dark and rainy and snowy and cold that will help you feel better or at least distracted from the sorrow of the season. Keep it handy and pull it out when the blues are coming on. Hot chocolate and movies on the couch, cleaning out and purging a closet, a jigsaw puzzle, recipes that you want to master. She goes on and on. Find people in your life that you want to get to know better and be purposeful about scheduling time with them as the dark season approaches.
I really like this tip. I like this idea of having like a handy list that you can just be like, oh, these are things that make me feel better.
Yeah, that I can do in this weather.
Totally.
One of my friends said that they take vitamin D.
You know, I was diagnosed with a vitamin D deficiency after I'd moved to LA.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And did you end up taking a vitamin D supplement?
Yeah.
Or did you spend more time?
I still take one because when you start doing IVF, like vitamin D, your vitamin D level is something that they look at.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Also, cook warm, nourishing foods and stews. And my recommendation would be to get a slow cooker.
Now, look, you know where you can get a good deal on a slow cooker, Dory. You know what I'm going to say. You know it.
I do. Say it.
It begins with C and it ends with Ostco. Costco has affordable slow cookers. Also, secondhand, like a Goodwill's got to have a slow cook. I'm just thinking of like...
Slow cookers are not... You can get a decent slow cooker for like $20.
Yes. It's such a great investment. Yeah. I have mine going right now, actually.
Mm.
And it's not winter here yet.
I got really into my slow cooker when I lived in New York.
A soup, a stew.
Yeah. And you can set it before you leave for work and come home. And you come home and your apartment just smells so fragrant and stewy.
Love a stewy apartment.
Love a stewy apartment. And also make soup.
Yeah. I do think it is really important to eat warming foods in cold weathers. Like the winter is not the time to be like getting your salad and smoothie game on.
No.
They're freezing. They're going to physically make your body cold. Yeah. So soup it up. I'll include a lentil soup recipe that I love. What about finding exercise that you can do in cold weather?
Well, you know, you can always join a gym. Mm-hmm. That's an option.
Or go to yoga.
But when I lived in the last couple of years, I lived in New York. I got very into running.
I also used to be a winter runner.
And I actually really liked running in the winter. And it kind of goes back to a tip we mentioned earlier about gear. If you have good gear, like you can run in the cold and the wet. I ran a half marathon in Central Park in like a mild snowstorm.
That sounds beautiful.
But I had a hat. I had a waterproof jacket. I had good leggings.
You were decked out.
I was decked out. So, you know, I think you can still do it. But I do think being able to do some kind of exercise in the cold weather is so important.
Yeah. Now, you might be like a person who enjoys skiing and all that jazz. I'm not. I am a very cold-bodied person. So I would go to yoga all winter and enjoy the like warmth of the sweaty room.
Yeah.
But also I think one thing that can motivate you, like if you pay for your, don't waste money, like don't get a gym membership and not use it. But if you're a person who's motivated by the money they're spending, that can be very helpful. Like if I buy a 10 class yoga pass, I use it. I've spent the money. Here's one. Have fun taking care of your skin.
Mm.
Get yourself like a nice oil.
Oh, yeah.
A hand cream.
Yeah. Oh, hand cream.
Well, especially because you get that cracked winter skin.
Yes.
I emailed our friend and facialist, Courtney Chisano, and Courtney recommended Egyptian Magic.
Oh.
Which I hate to do this again. You can get at Costco sometimes. Sorry, everybody. I know I'm a broken record. But Courtney said it's a great all-purpose hydrator that I recommend for people living in the cold, harsh winter climates. It's natural, it's easy to find, and it works great on cuticles and elbows too. And she said, acneic skin can use it occasionally as a treatment, and dry skin types can use it nightly. It's a balm consistency, so I recommend more for nighttime use.
I would also say get a great lip balm.
Ugh, yeah. Put it on. But you know what? Don't forgo the sunscreen.
Yes.
Sunscreen year-round, babies.
Especially if you live in a place with snow, because you can get burned from the reflection.
Yes.
So.
Every day. Sunscreen
it up. I would also say, as a tip, that if you're really feeling the weight of the winter, talk to someone, talk to a therapist, talk to a psychiatrist. It's okay to go on antidepressants if you're really sad.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I feel like I first went on antidepressants because of the winter.
I think that's a great
tip.
And
I just stayed on them.
Then you, me too. Enjoyed the journey so much.
Oh, yeah.
Now, here is a question. Something about surviving the winter with kids. How the hell do you do it? How the hell do you survive the winter with kids?
I don't have any great insights on this.
I honestly don't either. I will be honest with you. I was in New York City with a newborn who was born in December. I was on maternity leave through a very tough winter and then went back to work in March. And it is very challenging. And I was only there with a baby. We moved when my daughter was 9 months old. I mean, you know, one thought I have is indoor activities with kids where they can still get their bodily energy out. And I know for you people who live in the cold weather, that's got to be really hard.
Yeah. If anyone has any great indoor winter tips for kids,
please
holler at us.
Holler at us, because, you know, we're trying, but we can't claim to be experts in that area.
No, nope. We certainly cannot.
And Dory, I think we have a special tip from our Minnesota correspondent.
We do.
All right.
And here she is.
Hi, everyone. It's Nora McInerney, the Midwest correspondent for Forever 35, reporting for duty. Yesterday, there were rumors that there were snowflakes flying. It was 35 degrees. Forever 35 degrees is the temperature here in Minnesota. Just kidding. It's going to be like negative 35 in 2 months. Winter is here. Okay. Winter is not just coming. It is here. It's dry. It's going to wreak havoc on our skin, our hair, our lives. I'm using my seasonal affective disorder lamp. It is a mega one. It was prescribed to me. It looks medical. Okay. I just sit underneath that every morning and just blast myself. I'm taking so much vitamin D. By the way, you're probably not taking enough. Like, just take tons of it. Obviously, see a doctor. But I'm taking like 10,000 IUs. I don't even know what that means, but I need it. Anyways, winter, skin, hair, it's going to get dry. Okay, it's going to get very dry. So a long time ago, a dermatologist told me that if it's winter and it's automatically dry, you shouldn't be like blasting yourself with hot water in a shower. You should be using warm water. Hell no. No, I'm not going to do that. In no way am I going to take a lukewarm shower just to protect my skin. That's not happening. If I shower, by the way, which I don't do every day, I do maybe every 3 days, I'm going to burn off a layer of skin. It feels good to me. I bring into the shower my moisturizers. I combine Lubriderm, like your grandma's lotion, pump that into my hand, make a little divot with my finger, and then I put some almond oil, just almond oil, in the middle of that, mix it all up in my hands, and apply it to my damp bod, and then I just let it soak in, and I hang out for a while. I don't rub my skin dry. I pat it dry. I'm very greasy for a while. I put on a bathrobe, and I do all my other skincare stuff while my skin soaks up the combination of Lubriderm and almond oil. You can use pretty much any kind of oil. You don't have to also use a traditional lotion, but I like the combination of the two. I really do. In extreme situations, I've also used that sort of shower lotion by Nivea, like that you apply in the shower, but I don't know that it's necessary. I think really you can just make your own mega moisturizer by combining an oil and a lotion together and applying it when your skin is not bone dry. My face already feels like it's going to crack and fall off. The best part about winter here in the Midwest is that we are sun deprived and it is time for us to use our retinols, our retinoids, because we're not going to be out in the sun, because the sun is abandoning us for many, many months. But that also makes our skin super dry. So I'm back. I'm back on my regular retinol already, but I'm also layering it with a lot of moisturizers. My very favorite is a Pacifica product that I think that Kate told me about. Maybe it was Dory. It's Pacifica Wake Up Beautiful Super Hydration Sleepover Mask. I freaking love it. It might just be a placebo effect from the name itself, but it's super moisturizing without being greasy, and you wake up looking like your skin just drank a glass of water. I love it so much. It's for dry and combination skin types. It's vegan and cruelty-free. Other things that I'm loving: The Ordinary Buffet Multi-Technology Peptide Serum. The directions say to apply to the entire face in the AM and PM after cleaning, and you can layer that with other moisturizers. I am a huge fan of CeraVe, which I don't know if I'm saying right. For a while I was saying it's CeraVe, but I think it's just CeraVe. I think that's just, you say it like it looks. They have an entire line called the Skin Renewing Line, and it looks like it's for old people, but you know what? Old people are the best. So what the hell am I even talking about? It's these super rich moisturizers. I use, I layer the Skin Renewing Gel Oil. You really don't need a lot. You need a very small amount. I dot it all over my face and I layer it with the Skin Renewing Night Cream. Amazing. They're both at Target. They're both at CVS. They're both even at Walgreens. And they're pretty cheap. They're like under 20 bucks each, and they've lasted forever. I use like maybe, I've had to replenish them every like 6 months, so that's pretty good. I also just tried the CeraVe Eye Repair Cream, which I love. Comes in a little half ounce bottle, which means it's going to last you for like 600 years. And basically I'm just trying to lube myself up every night and every day. I do use the Skin Renewing Gel Oil in the morning, a little bit of it underneath my SPF 30 moisturizer. I still wear SPF 30 all year round because once, you know, once there is snow that's really sticking on the ground up here, sun reflects off it, okay? And you're never going to regret wearing sunscreen. Okay, here's something that we have not talked about, which is your head and like your hair. I don't wash my hair a lot. I do have hair extensions, more on that another time, but I used to wash my hair all the time because I grew up in the 90s and dry shampoo had not been invented yet. And it was a dark time. So all you youths should really appreciate the era that you're growing up in. Anyways, if you are an avid dry shampoo user, and most of us are, and I'm always an advocate for the cheapest thing that you can buy at like the grocery store or Target or CVS, which for me is the Not Your Mother's brand of dry shampoo, or the Dove dry shampoo, amazing. But if you have used a lot of dry shampoo and then you're like, oh my God, my head itches. You know why your head itches? Because there's alcohol in that product, in both of those products. It's an aerosol. It's able to go through the little pump thing because it takes a liquid form. Thank you to that. Thanks to that alcohol. And alcohol absorbs oil. It dries out also your skin. That's why your head is itching, because your skin is dry. I got this dry shampoo that from Aveda, the Aveda Shampooer dry shampoo. It's a powder, but it's in a squeezable bottle that has a little nozzle, and you just sort of that's a sound effect. Puff it into your hair. And there's no aerosol. There's no alcohol in it. And it's amazing. You rub it in. You brush it in. It smells amazing. It smells like Aveda. And my head is a lot less itchy. It also has a companion product that I've really, really grown attached to. It's good for hair extensions, which can't grease themselves up, and also just for just general hair as well, which is the Shampooer Thermal Dry Conditioner, which instantly softens with a calming Aveda aroma. And I dry shampoo my roots. I dry condition my ends. I smell amazing. I don't have an itchy head. And I truly feel like this is a coup. The bottles look small, but they've lasted quite a while. And in true Aveda fashion, you can get that dry shampoo refilled. You can bring that bottle in and refill it with dry shampoo. And that feels amazing. So I'm hoping for a less itchy head and for less itchy skin by basically just moisturizing the ever-loving hell out of my body and my head at all times. Kate and Dory, I apologize because you asked me for a 2-minute segment. So good luck with this. Secondarily, and maybe your wonderful producer can just include this in a separate note. I got a great question on my Instagram, which is something that I would really love all of your listeners to answer, which is, are you a Kate or a Dory? And I'm a Kate. I didn't even have to think about it. I'm a Kate, you know? It's like, I'm a Kate, which makes me really admire Dory, but Kate really has all of my same insecurities. Like, just all of them. All of them. So I'd love to hear from everybody. Are you a Kate or a Dory? And why? Why? Also, I mean, you know, it could be a sliding scale. Are you a Kate with a Dory rising? Are you a Dory with Kate tendencies? Just, I'd love to know more. Okay, this has been Nora McInerney, the Midwest correspondent for Forever 35, giving you too much information. Goodbye.
Oh, thank you, Nora.
Always love hearing from Nora.
And we're going to take a quick break.
It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great, manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article. And I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters. And then my favorite, my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs. Oh. Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. I mean, you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Our guest today is Dr. Tosi Odunsi-Akanji. Tosi, welcome.
Thank you.
Or should I say Dr. Tosi?
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
I feel like if you have the doctor, people should use it anytime they address you.
Sure.
Let me read a quick bio before we get started so our listeners can get to know you. Dr. Tosi Odunsi-Akanji is an OBGYN medical resident and a self-described life motivator. You can follow her like I do on Instagram, where she talks about everything from medical school to grief and being a young widow to spirituality to her own wellness and self-care practices. She also runs a minority medical mentorship program, which you can find more about on her Instagram at Life by Tosi. Now, I have been incredibly inspired by following you on Instagram because as a writer, I feel like I have no concept of what it takes to actually go through medical school, be a resident, become a doctor. So I was wondering if you could touch on that for our listeners who also might like be like me and not understand kind of what it takes, what inspired you to go into medicine and what you've, you know, learned or taken away along the way.
That's a good question. And thank you for having me on the show. I'm very excited to be here. So as a lot of people know, becoming a doctor takes a long time, but it seems like, oh, we're always studying and we can't go out. So that's usually the viewpoint that people have, that we're just in school for a really long time, which is part of the truth. So like everybody else, we do 4 years of undergraduate. And then you take pre-medical courses that are required to apply for medical school. You don't have to be a specific major. to go to medical school, but you take those core requirements and then you take the MCAT, which is the qualifying exam, and then you apply to medical school wherever you desire to go. And then medical school is 4 years. And then during those 4 years, you decide what specialty you want to do. And the core specialties include psychiatry, family medicine, pediatrics, surgery, obstetrics and gynecology. What's the other one? Oh, man, I can't remember.
That's okay. We will never be able. We don't know. Sure. So that sounds great to us.
Oh, and internal medicine. That's important.
Yes.
So you pick one of those and then you specialize in one of those. And then even after you do residency, which can be 3 years to 6 years, you can even specialize even more if you want to do more training and go even deeper in those subspecialties. So it is a lot of schooling, it is a lot of training, a lot of studying, but at the end, they tell us that it'll get better.
So. What year are you in your residency?
I'm in my last year of my obstetrics and gynecology residency, so I'll be done next year.
Yay.
And yeah. What does that mean? What follows? Do you then become an OBGYN? Will you be delivering babies, seeing all sorts of patients?
So even in residency, we deliver babies, ooh, we operate. So during that training, you're building up those skills to go out on your own. So after residency, you can choose that's it, I'm done. And then you start practicing. Or like I said before, you can do a subspecialty or a fellowship and do additional training in a more niche position. So I could do a fellowship right after residency, or I could take a break, or I could do private practice or become a hospitalist. Whatever I want to do is fine. But after you take the exam for obstetrics and gynecology, then you're board certified. And that's when you're officially done.
One thing I've read on your Instagram stories that I found really inspiring and kind of applicable to any field is that you were saying and encouraging people who are older that anybody can go to medical school. I feel like that's one of those areas where it's like, oh, if you don't do it when you're young, you can't do it because it takes so long. But you were really encouraging anyone, no matter what the age, to do it if it's their passion. Is that something that you've seen in your experience in medical school, that it's people of all ages?
Yes, absolutely. And just to give an example, so my dad, he completed his medical training in Nigeria, then he got his PhD in England, and then he had to redo his residency here in the United States. So he had 3 kids and a family, and he had to start all over when we moved to the United States. So he was an older resident taking, I guess, orders from these little kids who had just graduated from medical school. So anybody, especially international students, they might be a little bit older. They can definitely start as long as you have the passion to do it. There's no age that's too old. And that's funny that you mentioned that, because I was reading about some of the older medical students. They're in their 50s and 60s, and they're just doing it for fun. I don't know why, but it's still possible.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Residencies are kind of notoriously crazy. You're working all the time. You're working. I'm not a doctor, obviously, but, you're working these like really long shifts. You don't have much downtime. How do you stay sane when your hours are so crazy?
Yeah, I think those habits start before you get to residency. There's a bit more control over your time in medical school, where you're responsible for learning the knowledge, and that's all you're responsible for. But transitioning to residency, now you're a bit more responsible, but they pretty much own you for however long you're in training. So at least for my schedule, I know that I'm working from 6 to 6 at a minimum every day. So I have to schedule like my workouts around that. Just to give an example, one of my co-residents, she signed up for Orange Theory. We're both turning 32 in the next few months and put on a little weight. So she got me into Orange Theory in the last week. So wow. I've been going and it's been fun.
Orange Theory, honestly, I said to Kate recently, Orange Theory like totally scares me.
It scares me too.
You're 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. is your mm-hmm. is your shift. Okay.
Oh my goodness. So yep. how do you work in other self-care practices when your schedule is not only so overwhelming and intense, but also your job requires that you give so much of yourself to people? Like you're in emotional, physical contact with humans who need you all day long. How are you then able to kind of care for yourself? And do you have kind of small things you do on a regular basis to do that?
I definitely do. So during the day, and my coworkers and people, they probably don't know this, but I'll steal away to the bathroom for like 5-10 minutes. I don't know what they think I'm doing in there. Usually I'm just taking that time to just think and meditate. It's not that long. I feel like the max I'm in there is 5 minutes, and I let everybody know I'm going to the bathroom. But yeah, I take that time to just kind of meditate and get back to a grounded state, because sometimes the labor floor can get crazy. So we'll have like a bunch of patients coming in, and we have this joke that between 3 p.m. and sign out, which is when we trade with the night team, that's when the bus rolls up. So to mentally prepare for that, sometimes I'll steal away to the bathroom and just like get ready for that moment, those last 3 hours of the shift.
And when you say the bus rolls up, it's a bus full of women in labor. Is that everybody you're seeing?
Either they're in labor or they're not, and yeah. they think that they're in labor. So we have to triage them, just kind of like the emergency room where you decide whether you're going to admit somebody, keep them for overnight observation, or they can just go home because they're not really in labor or right. having an issue. So
now, as someone who's working in OB and gyn, what kind of advice do you give women seeking an OBGYN? And I'm kind of curious, how can women better empower themselves as advocates when they're meeting with physicians or when they're advocating for their own medical care?
Let's see. So I think the most important thing is establishing rapport with your OBGYN. There have definitely been patients who request a certain resident. So let's say I delivered their baby during my first year. They might request for me to be there, or if I can be around when they're delivering their next. And I'm just like, I don't necessarily remember you, but sure, I can do that. But it's such a beautiful thing. So once you meet with your OBGYN, if you have that initial connection, there are certain OBs within different practices, and you can tell who their patients are just by their personalities. There are some attendings that are very like, no nonsense, let's get it done. And they have patients that are like that too, which I think is very funny. But you just have this chemistry with your patients, and that definitely develops over time. I've had the opportunity of following a lot of the high risk pregnant patients for about 2 months on my maternal fetal medicine rotation. And I had that same experience where if another resident saw them, they would say, "Where's my doctor?" So I think that rapport and that relationship, that's what's important. And my philosophy is I don't want to be like completely responsible for your health and well-being. I think it's a partnership. So if you have a physician that puts the responsibility on you as well, as opposed to here's a magic pill that's going to take care of all your issues, if you can find a physician that can really help you to take responsibility for your health, that's beautiful too.
I am pregnant with my first child.
Oh, congrats.
And thank you. and I'm wondering, what is something that I should be prepared for that I might not find out from other moms? Like, what is an OB secret that I should know?
Oh, man. I love watching first-time moms because a lot of them, they come in with, like, a birth plan of what they anticipate to happen and what they want. It usually doesn't go as expected. And the goal that we have is to have a healthy baby and a healthy delivery. So if that's your birth plan, then that's wonderful.
I did 2 years. I did 2 years of IVF. So my birth plan is to just have a kid.
Awesome. Great. We like you.
Yeah. By any means necessary at this point. So yeah.
Yeah. And then even the moms that are coming in, let's say they've had a kid, like 10 years ago, it's always a new experience for them, which is wonderful. It's like, oh, I don't remember doing any of this.
No.
It's so funny. Each time is just a new time, and definitely enjoy being pregnant, even though towards the end you're going to be sick of it. It's just, it's such an amazing time, and you'll probably grow as well, because you're thinking, oh man, I made this thing inside of me.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a part of me. But just enjoy the time. Enjoy the sleep while you have it, if you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. get any sleep you can.
Okay. Thank
you. Exactly.
Tosi, you mentor other people in the medical profession, and you've gone as far as to set up a mentorship program, which, to be honest with you, I do not know how you have the time to do this, but you've done it. I was wondering if you could talk about what inspired you to do it, what it takes to match a mentee and a mentor, and then also, like, how can people find a mentor in any profession that feels so daunting? And if they don't have you running a program, how do you suggest people go about doing it?
Right. It's a hard thing to do. And I saw that there was a need. I kept getting people asking questions along different parts of their journey. And I was like, okay, they're not finding it somewhere else, but Instagram just seems to be an avenue for people to find people in the medical profession. I just kept getting a lot of questions. So I thought, well, I'm just going to pilot this mentorship thing and see where it goes. And in the first week of opening it up, I got 32 mentees, which was amazing.
Wow.
And what the vision that I saw for it is having somebody who could follow you throughout your path, ideally starting from high school. So that's actually the point that you should start getting mentors, and not just one. It should be a mentor for each aspect of your life. So I personally have a spiritual mentor who's separate from my mom, since I'm here in residency by myself. And then people who are inputting into your career decisions and not telling you what to do, but seeing all the options that you've already thought about and giving you guidance. And I think that's one of the misconceptions of mentorship, that we're just going to give and give and give. But I put a lot of the responsibility on the mentee, instead of it being a take type of relationship. I think the easiest way to find a mentor is if you have any family whatsoever that has to do with the health profession, and just talk to them. I was lucky. This actually wasn't lucky, but I broke my arm in the seventh grade, and I met the orthopedic surgeon that took care of me, and I kind of latched on to him.
Oh, wow.
So initially I wanted to do orthopedic surgery up until second year of medical school. And then I did my third year rotations and was like, oh, well, I guess I fit an OBGYN. But it's like, I think a lot of the people that I'm mentoring, they don't have a family member that's doing medicine. They may be the first person in their family who's on this path. They may be the first person who even went to college. And I find that a lot of minorities, they get discouraged in undergrad to pick something else that isn't medicine, maybe because their grades aren't that good. But the sooner that the mentors can get in there, the better. And the way that I set it up is, let's say somebody is interested in OBGYN, then maybe I'll set them up with somebody in that specialty or in another specialty that someone's interested in. But I feel like the getting through medical school is pretty much the same in the United States. So it doesn't even matter who, what the specialty is of the other mentors. That it's still a game to play. You have to study smart and latch on to whoever you can, who can help you.
You also talk a lot about failing one of the tests and bouncing back from that. And it seemed like a lot of people had also gone through that, but were incredibly discouraged. And your attitude is like, congrats, you failed your first big medical school test, like now onward. And
right.
That was really interesting to me that you were able to kind of keep moving forward through things that might otherwise be a deterrent for people.
Right. Yeah, there are a lot of people, I think people have a view of physicians as people who don't make mistakes, they're always perfect, they're next to God, which is completely untrue. We all have our flaws and things that go wrong. I have battled with test anxiety my whole life, and that's something that I continually have to work on. It doesn't mean that I'm not smart. It doesn't mean I'm not capable. It just means it takes me a little bit longer to get things. And the sooner people can learn that failure doesn't mean that you are a failure, it just means that you need to learn from that situation and move forward. That's what's important. So when I failed my first board exam, like, I sunk into this huge depression, and it was horrible. And I never want an exam to put me in that state again, because it's an exam written by humans. It's not testing how good your bedside manner is. It's not testing. It's really not testing what I believe is really important to be a good physician. Yes, I don't want you to kill somebody, but I also want you to be able to take care of my mom, my sister, my family member. And just because you get a number on a test, that doesn't mean that I would trust you to take care of my relatives. So there's two parts to being a physician. Yeah, you have to know the book stuff, but we also have apps for that. So you also need to know how to be a human and still be compassionate towards people. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily what the test will show.
And that's not also necessarily easy for people to learn too sometimes,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that's can be a very innate skill.
Right.
Oh. Well, I guess I'm going to become a doctor now. Nope. I wanted to ask about this list that you posted on Instagram, where I follow you very actively, and you had listed 10 wellness focus areas for yourself. And I wanted to just read them off. And I'm curious how you landed on them and then how you are cultivating them in your incredibly busy life. So for our listeners, here is what they were. They really resonated with me. The areas of focus for you were spiritual, mental, physical, financial, self-improvement, education and career, contribution to society, relationships, creativity, and travel. And those felt like I could have framed that and put that up in my bathroom to look at every day to remind myself, like, these are the areas. So how did you kind of land on those, and how do you, you know, tap into those areas on a regular basis?
Nice. So I started that list not this past New Year, but the New Year before, so 2017. And I was really trying to come up with goals that were measurable and reasonable for me to do. So actually in 2017, I was trying to set 3 goals a day, 3 goals a week, 3 goals a month, 3 goals a year. And the way I wanted to hit those was by addressing those 10 areas. So it didn't matter which area I hit for the goals, as long as I was hitting all of them at some point. So then in the subcategories, I went a little bit deeper, and I pulled that list up for myself so I could see. So in terms of spiritual health, I'd maybe put 3 bullets of where I wanted to grow. And then I think you can just go deeper and deeper and keep making a list, but I just wanted to keep it simple. And all of those areas that I'm addressing are things that I value and I find important. And I feel like if I'm growing in those areas, then my life will feel as whole as possible. And some of the spaces that I really wanted to work on were my mental health, because I kind of was ignoring that for a long time, and also my physical health. So those were 2 areas that I felt were the weakest and needed improving.
And how did you kind of focus in on those? What kind of improvements or steps did you take to care for your mental and physical health?
So in terms of the mental health, I had to develop coping strategies for like anxiety and depression. So just to backtrack, I didn't really think mental health was a thing. It seems like in the African community, it's like, okay, you're just sad. So it wasn't until recently that I actually experienced it and thought that it's not just being sad. Mm-hmm. It's like you're in this state and you feel like you're in a pit and you can't get out of it. So I definitely had to talk to a professional and got help that way in sorting out my thoughts, and especially with the grieving process, to just see where my head was and if talking to somebody would help. And then just small coping strategies for my test anxiety. So I had this long list of things that I could try when I was feeling really anxious when I was studying, including like deep breathing, meditation, listening to worship music. If I really can't study, then I'll stop, go work out. Just doing a bunch of things and then eventually something works. And if those don't work, then I just go to sleep and try again later.
That's the best advice for any.
Totally.
For any
just
situation.
Take a nap and eat.
Yeah. As a self-described life motivator, like, what is your biggest tip to people to kind of, I personally find you so motivating. I know I mentioned before our interview started, you put a picture on your Instagram stories of like all the numerous alarms you had set for yourself. And they weren't just like to wake up and maybe like remember to do something, but you had extensive notes about the what you were going to do and the reason and how, you know, like, being late is disrespecting the person that you're meeting. All these like beautiful bits of advice were just in your alarms. So I guess, you know, if we can leave with one kind of bit of life motivation, like, what is it that keeps you motivated? And what do you think people need to stay in that, like, that doesn't necessarily need to be a positive place, but a forward moving place?
Right. So this is an interesting question, because I wasn't in this mental space even 4 years ago. I think it's taken 3.5 years of like clawing at who I am as a person and figuring out who I am other than being a widow and going through that process. But I think losing my husband made me realize that life is short, which we know. And there's actually nothing worse that can happen to me. And I tell this to people all the time, like, yeah, my husband passed away. There's nothing worse that can happen. So I'm living as close to no fear as I can. And God forbid this should happen to anybody. But there's nothing anybody can do to you to bring you down. Like, everybody is on the same playing field. Even if they are a celebrity, even if they're in a position of power, you have the same strength as everybody else. You have everything within yourself to do what you need to do to succeed. And that's what wakes me up in the morning, like, wow, I already have everything that I need to go on through my day. I already have the strength and the power that I need to make it. So I don't even have to worry about that. I don't have to find the strength. I don't have to do anything special. And then I definitely have a connection with God, and I just feel like if I serve a God who made the entire universe, then I don't need to worry about anything. But just, I just wish everybody could get this, that you have everything that you need within yourself, and you're capable of accomplishing so much. You don't need validation from anybody. You don't need to compare yourself to anybody, and you don't need to be like an Instagram famous person. It's fine. You can just, have value and add value to your community, even if it's in a small area. That's perfectly fine.
I mean, this is why you've become my personal life coach, even though you don't know it yet. I haven't told you, but I can like wake up and feel so inspired by reading what you write and what you share. It's so moving. Tosi, where can people find you on Instagram, or where can they reach you if they're curious about your mentorship program?
Sure. They can just email me at lifebytosin, lifebytosin, at gmail.com. And then my Instagram is lifebytosin. And that's pretty much it. I used to make YouTube videos, but I had to stop because of residency. But I have some videos on YouTube there if you find me.
I have found you, and I have watched them.
I have watched them.
And they're great. Maybe when you get less busy, you can get back to it, but no pressure. Well, thank you so, so much for taking the time to talk to us today. It's been really wonderful to hear from you and learn from you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Tosi. So, Kate.
Yes.
How did sticking to your meal plan go?
Look, I got to tell you.
Tell me.
I'm not sure what it is about this month-long meal plan that I've made, but so far it's going really well.
That's amazing.
And, you know, I believe what I would like to do is kind of make a template for listeners. So I'm going to add that to my to-do list because I'm keeping it in a spreadsheet. I have links and recipes that I'm using. And I'm also kind of rethinking how many meals a week I'm going to cook.
Oh, okay.
And kind of maybe using my slow cooker a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And I also ordered both of Chrissy Teigen's cookbooks.
Oh.
Because everybody raves about them.
Yeah.
And says that her recipes are very easy and delicious. So I'll report back. But so far, the meal plan's going well, and my kids are liking the food.
That's
and I'm
great.
Liking the food. We're all able to sit down for meals together. It's really nice.
That's amazing.
How has your grocery situation been going?
It's actually been going better because I've been feeling well enough to actually go to the grocery store.
Oh, good.
So I went to Whole Foods a few days ago, and I bought a whole bunch of stuff that I've like actually been eating.
That's got to feel great.
Yeah. So it feels good. So I feel like I'm kind of like getting it a little bit more together. Kate, what's your intention for this week?
Well, Dory, I have heard from many listeners who have very kindly written specifically to me with tips on how to improve my bedtime issues and my iPhone addiction.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm getting like truly you all are like very wonderful like pretend therapists for me. I mean, maybe some of you are actual therapists. I don't know, but I've been really touched by how many people have written in and been like, "Hey, it seems like winding down a bed is hard for you. Here's some ideas." So I've gotten a lot of great listener recommendations, but I need to kind of like sift through them. Some are similar, some are very different. So I just kind of want to make a list and then see what I can implement and see what might work for me.
That's great.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, truly, one of the benefits of having a podcast is people tell you how to improve your life. So thank you for that. Seriously.
That's awesome. My intention for this week is I need to make like, I guess like a reverse calendar of planning for the baby.
Whoa, that's real.
Like we know the baby's coming. Like, the baby's due in April. when do we need to have the nursery set up? When do we need to, like, because there's a bunch of stuff we have to do. We have to like rearrange the house a little bit.
Okay.
And so getting all of that stuff done in a timely manner, because as you know, we, on my other podcasts, we've heard from several people who were like, don't leave it to the last minute because the baby might come early.
Oh, interesting.
Like we heard from this, this came up mostly when we were talking about possibly moving. Mm. People were like, give yourself more time than you need. Someone wrote into us that their baby had come 6 weeks early and they didn't like, they, it messed up their whole moving schedule. Like it just, you know, it was hard. And so I want to have everything ready at least a month ahead of time. So working backwards from there, I feel like I need to see it kind of like written down.
Sure.
And because Matt is also like excited about it and wants to kind of do stuff, but we're sort of like, I feel like we're kind of like haphazardly doing stuff now. And so I want to kind of figure that out.
That's a fun project.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense to just, it might also, it helps you feel like you have a handle on everything.
Yeah, I think it will kind of, I'm not super anxious anymore, but I am like, it does feel like, oh, what am I supposed to be doing? You know, mm-hmm. Even though right now I'm not really supposed to be doing anything.
You did get yourself a pregnancy pillow.
I did. And I think it arrived.
I mean, that is going to change your life.
So I haven't used it yet because I just ordered it, but I believe it arrived today. So yeah, I got the pregnancy pillow. I got the maternity jeans.
You're getting all that. You're hitting all the pregnancy
stuff. I'm moving in the right direction here.
And you're feeling a little bit better. Those are all good things.
Yeah, totes.
Well, listeners, thank you once again for joining us on this journey. We love knowing what your intentions are if you're setting them each week.
We do.
Hit us up. You can always reach us via voicemail at 781-591-0390. Or you can email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And as always, you can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/forever35podcast. And if you click on the About tab, you can see all the spinoff groups that we have.
And if you like this here show, please do leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And you can always tell a friend. And if you really like us, mention us on your social media platform that you love the most.
And just a reminder that everything we talk about is always on our website, forever35podcast.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at Forever35Podcast and on Twitter at Forever35Pod.
And of course, Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Dori Shafrir and Kate Spencer and produced and edited by Sammy Junio.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.